中世纪哲学与神的主权第十二讲 Medieval Philosophy and the Sovereignty of God Session 12 Thomas Aquinas 阿奎那的知识论 Aquinas' Epistemology 首先我们看 the Knowledge 知识阿奎那怎么论知识Aquinas often speaks of knowledge in an Aristotelian way. Aquinas 论到知识的时候往往是用 Aristotle 的说法来讨论到 Sense experience impacts the passive intellect. 五官的经验影响到被动的理智 And the active intellect, 那么主动的理智呢Abstract from that data, the forms that constitute genuine knowledge. 主动的理智就从这种的五官的资讯里面就抽出真正是人类知识 的形式。到了两千年之后的康德还是、没有变的，还是大概是用这两种的方法来讲人类得到知识的过程。 But in his writing, there are also suggestions that knowledge comes through divine illumination in an Augustinian or even Neoplatonic way. 但是在阿奎那的著作里面呢，他又好像有的时候说知识透过神的光照而来的。这样的说法让我们想起阿古斯丁甚至复兴柏拉图主义。Recall that Aquinas thought pseudo-Dionysius was the real Dionysius and quoted him often. 不要忘记阿奎那认为托名的 Dionysius 是真的那一位 Dionysius 引用他的著作超过一千次。However that might be, 无论如何 Aquinas, in a dimension of natural reason,seeks to reason apart from divine revelation, that is, autonomously. Aquinas 在自然理性的范围里面、他努力的不用神的启示来推理，换言之，他是用一个自主的理性来推理的。Even the theistic proofs and proof of divine attributes discussed aboveAre attempts to show from natural reason that God exists.
甚至乎证明神存在的论证和证明神的属性的论证，就是刚刚上文讲过的，都是试图从自然神论去证明神存在的。
As we have seen, they are examples of the three ways of medieval theology.
我们看到这样的自然理性的推理呢，是三种不同的中世纪神学 的方法 causality 用因果论 remotion and immanence 否定法和肯定法或者是延伸法
Certainly, at least when Aquinas turns from discussions of God's existence and simplicity to discussions of the traditional divine attributes, the influence of scripture on this discussion is apparent.
当然当阿奎那从讨论到神的存在神的简单的简易性然后转向传统的神的属性的讨论的时候很明显的他是受到圣经的影响的。
But he never suggests a role for scripture in his philosophical epistemology.
但是在他哲学上的知识论从来没有暗示过圣经能够扮演怎么样的样式的从来没有暗示过圣经能够扮演怎么样的角色的
Within the sphere of natural reason there is no place for it
在自然理性的范围没有空间留给圣经的
So the way of causality tells us to reason autonomouslyconcerning the powers needed
to cause this or that event to happen. 所以因果论的思考方法呢，就教导我们，我们要很自主的用我们的理性去想，是什么样的能力让这件事、那件事情会发生，背后的因果是什么呢？ The ways of remotion and eminence， 否定法，然后延伸法或者是肯定法， call on us to deny or affirm of God what we take to be imperfections or perfections， 教导我们，我们认为什么是完美，什么是不缺欠，我们就承认神是什么，或者不承认神是什么，都根据我们认为什么是完美，什么是缺欠。But these methods， 现在是弗兰姆的批判 critique， these methods do not alleviate the general problem that one encounters when he tries to gain knowledge of God through natural reason alone。 但是这些方法都没有解决一个问题，就是当我们唯独用自然理性去寻求关于神的知识的时候，必定要面临一个问题的，那个问题是解决不了的。 For autonomy itself is the problem， 人的自主本身就是问题，问题是人的自主。 What ability do we have to judge what is perfect or imperfect？ 我们有什么能力去指出什么是完美，什么是不完美的呢？除非有神的启示。 Anselm's ontological argument has this weakness。 安瑟伦的本体论也有这个的问题的。 Perfection has problems、这个关于完美这个概念是有问题的。 That different people have different views of it， 不同人对什么是完美有不同的看法的。Anselm's argument cannot solve the problem between Christians and Buddhists. 安瑟伦的论证解决不了基督徒跟、非基督徒之间的问题的， or between, say, Anselm and Hartshorn, Hartshorn, so as to what would constitute a perfect being. 或者安瑟伦跟 Hartshorn 之间的问题也是解决不了的，什么才算是完美的。 When we try to determine God's nature from perfection or cause, some problem is there. 当我们、去用因果论、或者是完美去来看神的本性的话，肯定会有问题。 The same problem attaches to any philosophical attempt to determine the nature of God， 用任何的方法，用哲学的方法去探讨神的本性，都有这个问题的。好，下面呢，弗兰姆多加一点点关于因果论成因的讨论。To say a bit more about causality，我在关于因果这个问题上想多讲几句话。 Philosophers today are more reluctant than Aquinas to dismiss the possibility of an infinite series of causes generating an event. 今天的哲学家没有好像 Aquinas 这么容易去不承认有可能有无限度的系列的成因的，不会这么快拒绝相信这个可能性的。 I'm convinced、though it would be hard to prove this from the text of Aquinas, that his main motive for denying infinite series is epistemological. 我相信为什么阿奎那不承认有无限度的系列呢，基本上是考虑到知识论的，虽然我不能够从他的著作那里去证明。第66号注脚 Footnote 66。 I warned the student that my reduction of Aquinas' causal metaphysics to epistemology is anathema to the Thomists who follow Etienne Gilson and Jacques Maritain.
but they have not persuaded me. 我先警告一下我的读者，当我把阿奎那的新的上学里面的因果观啊，越化为知识论的时候，这个对很多的阿奎那主义者是绝对不能接受的，因为他们跟 Etienne Gilson G-I-L-S-O-N 或者 Jacques Maritain M-A-R-I-T-A-I-N 这些的耶稣会或者是阿奎那主义者的二十世纪天主教的哲学家，但是弗兰姆说他们这样子不愿意接受这种的约化，对我来说是没有说服力的。阿奎那相信 sufficient reason 这个的原则的， He is convinced of what Leibniz called the principle of sufficient reason, that there is a reason for everything. 阿奎那相信足够原因、足够理由这个原则，这个是莱布尼茨所定的一个的名词 sufficient reason。每一件事情都有原因的 Cause is the metaphysical correlate of reason. 在知识论里面的reason 理由，在形而上学里面就是 cause 成因。 That is a species of irrationalism. 他说这样的说法就是说每一件事情都有原因，是一种非理性主义的。就是说假如有一个无限度的成因的系列的话就没有理由，没有成因了，不能解释了，这个是非理性主义来的。 A Christian cannot countenance this view. 基督徒是不能接受这个观点的， because according to scripture, there is a completeexplanation for everything that happens in the divine mind. 因为对基督徒来说，根据圣经的教导，每一件发生的事在神的思想里面都有一个完整的解释的。 In that sense, Aquinas' affirmation is biblical. 从这个角度来看，阿奎那正面所说的是合乎圣经的。But he does not appeal to scripture. 但是他并不诉诸于圣经，并不引用圣经。Rather, since he is reasoning in the sphere of natural reason, he uses an argument of secular rationalism. 因为他是在自然理性这个范围里面推理的，他用 的推理法，用的论证呢，是从世俗的理性主义而来的。But for the secularrationalist, the doctrine that everything has a full explanation is a presupposition. 但是对一个世俗的理性主义者来说，若是相信每一件事情都有一个完整的解释的，这个教义是一个前提， a postulate of faith 是一个信条，用信心接受的。 And that faith itself does not have the grounding of Christian faith. 而这种的信心接纳每一件事情都有的解释的，这个并不是建基于基督教的信仰之上的。 And secular rationalism, as we have seen, devolves into secular irrationalism. 而世俗的非基督教的理性主义，我们说过了，一定会堕落到非理性主义的，世俗的非理性主义的。 For it does not itself have a meaningful rational ground. 因为这个世俗的理性主义本身没有一个合理的理性的根基的。 And the rationalism and the irrationalism together devolve into nihilism. 而这种的非基督教的理性主义和非基督教的非理性主义最后结合起来就成为虚无主义了。下面呢，我们来看第五个部分 language 语言。 The philosophy and theology of Aquinas are so vast that I will be able to touch on only some basic features of them
that have been especially important in the history of thought. Aquinas 所讨论的哲学跟神学的范围是那么的广，我只能够讨论一些对后来历史有影响的部分。But we should look at what Aquinas says about the language we use about God. 但是我们必须讨论 Aquinas 怎么去看我们用什么语言来论说上帝的。For it is an essential ingredient of his thinking on the topics we've considered so far. 因为语言跟刚才我们所讨论过的问题，神的存在啊，自然理性啊，这些都是有直接关系的。Aquinas says, since we do not know the very nature of God as it is in itself, we know God's nature only according to some idea of causality or excellence or emotion. 既然我们不能够认识到神的本性本身是什么，我们去认识神的本性只不过透过成因的概念，或者至高这个概念，或者否定这个概念。 Therefore, terms such as wise, powerful, good, and even God do not designate God univocally, which means with absolutely the same meaning as in the application to other beings. 所以当我们说上帝是神，是智慧，是全能，是美善的时候，我们并不能够用共在或者单一意义来用这些字，就好像我们说某某人是智慧一样，不能的。弗兰姆说， I take it that we speak univocally when we affirm wisdom of Socrates or Plato. 我假设阿奎奶的意思就是说，当我们说到这个苏格拉底或者普拉图是智慧的时候，我们可以用共在或者单一意义的，就是真的是智慧。But given the differences between the wisdom of the two thinkers, it is not clear how different they must be before univocal predication becomes inappropriate. 但是苏格拉底的智慧跟普拉图是不是又不一样哦？我们是不是真的用单一的意义来理解智慧呢？只要讲到两个不同的智慧人的话，到了什么一个程度，单一意义共在又不能再使用呢？ Wise applied to a man evidently does not have absolutely the same meaning as it has applied to God.
人的智慧，这个智慧这个字当然不可能绝对的用有同一个意义，当我们说神是智慧的， nor is the meaning univocal, absolutely diverse. 但是神的智慧也不是 equivocal, 错字共在，完全错了，完全不一样。注脚七十。
It is not clear in context what sorts of predication are absolutely diverse.
究竟什么的哪些的字是完全错字共在，是跟用在上帝身上是完全不同的意义呢？讲得不清楚。
Rather, 回到文本， the meaning is somewhere between the two.
我们讲到神用一些字来形容神的时候，既不是共在，不是跟人的智慧一样，也不是错字共在，完全不一样。这两者之间
an analogical meaning, 类比的意义，不是共在 univocal, 字义上的意义，不是错字共在，完全与我们用的其他的方法用的字是完全不一样，是中间的类比的。
Aquinas is not very precise in the Summa Theologica as to what an analogous predication is. Aquinas 讲到类比的时候讲得并不清楚。
Medieval philosophers in general distinguish various kinds of analogy.
中世纪的哲学家会分辨出几种不同的类比，比如相似的
proper proportionality 正确的比例 attribution 归因resemblance 相似。 Now Aquinas discussed each of these in earlier books.
那这三种不同的的类比阿奎那都有讨论过的。
But in the Summa Theologica,
但是在神学大全的时候，
he seems to operate with three.
他好像是用第三种，就是相似的意思。
The simplest of these concepts, we say that God is wise because there is a resemblance between our wisdom and his.
我们说上帝是智慧的，意思就是说我们的智慧跟神的智慧之间是有相似
信的。弗兰姆说 I would agree that because of the creator-creature distinction, nothing in man is precisely the same as anything in God.
我同意，因为啊，这个是范德尔的概念了，因为创造主和被造物之间的区分 the creator-creature distinction, 人里面任何东西都不完全就好像神里面的一样。
Yet man is in God's image.
但是人是按照神的形象造的。
And perhaps resemblance, vague as it is the best general term to describe the relation between the wisdom of the original and the wisdom of the image.
所以类比相似这个字可能是最好一个字来形容原本的智慧神的智慧和形象的智慧人的智慧。
But I believe that Aquinas here presupposes an unbiblical view of language.
但是我认为阿奎那在这里呢，他背后的前提是个不符合圣经的语言观。
Operating out of his conception of natural reason, he says nothing about the biblical teachings concerning God's word and man's word.
因为他是从自然理性做出发点的，所以他并没有讲到圣经怎么教导神的话跟人的话。之间的关系是什么
Rather, he assumes,
不是的，他假设
Human language is fit in itself only to deal with the natural world.
人的语言只适合用来讨论自然界宇宙的事物。
Univocally, literally, it refers only to this world.
假如一个字是用字义来单一意义共在来理解的话，只能够是指这个世界上的东西。
Footnote 72, This is also the presupposition of much language philosophy in the 20th and 21st centuries.
这个也是21世纪里面的语言分析哲学背后的前提来的。
To make it apply to God, we must adjust it, twist it, use it in extraordinary ways.
假如用一些字我们一般来指人指世界用来指神的话我们要调整要扭曲要用特殊的方法来使用。
On a biblical basis, however,
但是根据圣经来说呢
we need to affirm that although God is very different from us, we can speak of him in very ordinary language.
虽然神与我们是非常的不同但是我们可以用非常一般性的语言字来讲论神的。
God made language,
神造语言
so that we could speak not only of the world and to each other, but also of God and to God.
好叫我们不单单可以用语言来讨论世界，彼此讨论，我们还可以用一般的语言来讨论神，也向他讲话。
And he has given us his word in scripture.
上帝甚至乎在圣经里面 给了我们他的话
which guides us in the use of our language in all those areas.
圣经教导我们在这些的范围里面怎么用我们的字怎么用我们的语言。
When scripture says that God is love,
当圣经说神就是爱
it describes a love that is greater than we can imagine.
他所形容的爱是我们超我们所想象的。
But I don't believe it uses the term love in a non-literal sense.
但是我不相信约翰一书四章八节那个爱那个字不能够用字义去理解的。
In other cases too, biblical language about God is clearly univocal.
圣经里面还有很多地方当他论到神的时候那些字是要字义的理解的是共在的是同一意义的。
When scripture says that God never lies, as Titus 1 verse 2,
当圣经说神从来不撒谎的提多书一章二节。
It distinguishes God from literal liars, not analogous or figurative liars.
上帝是不撒谎的，与谁比较？与真的撒谎的人，不是好像撒谎的人来比较，对吗？
And there's a problem with the view that all language of God is non-literal.
另外一个问题，当我们说所有讲到神的字都不能够自己理解的时候，还有另外一个问题的。
It is that it affects everything we say about God.
它影响到我们讲到神的所有的话的。
For example, Aquinas' cosmological argument asserts that God caused the world in the same sense that any event causes another. 比如说阿奎那的宇宙论宣称神 cause 是世界的成因，就好像任何成因影响任何的事一样。 If we say that cause is analogous rather than univocal, the argument fails. 假如我们说上帝是世界的成因，用成因这个字的时候是不是自意的，是错字共在的话，这个整个论证就没有用了。 In summary, 总结，
It will not do to confine ourselves to the presupposed sphere of natural reason and reason about the divine causality and perfections as if God never revealed himself to us.
所以我不可以限制自己在所谓自然理性的范围里面，然后讲到神是成因，神的完美，好像神从来没有跟我们给过启示一样，不能够这样假设的。
Without presupposing the worldview of scripture, the rational argumentation proposed by Aquinas falls apart.
若没有先预设到圣经的世界观，那么阿奎那所提出的这些的理性的论证完全瓦解的。
Aquinas, of course, was a Christian first and foremost.
当然阿奎那是基督徒，
as was Justin Martyr, and as were many other philosophers whom we have considered.
很多我们讨论过的基督徒或者天主教的哲学家是基督教徒来的。
And there are places in his work where he is primarily a biblical exegete.
但是有他著作里面某些地方他主要是以一个圣解经家出现的。
Even those, however, are problematic.
但连那些地方其实圣经都有问题的。
Because they are built on a foundation established primarily in a realm of natural reason, reason without revelation.
因为解经的时候他们的根基也是在自然理性，就是没有考虑到启示理性的根基上的。
一失足成千古恨。A small error in the beginning grows enormous at the end.
阿奎那这一章结束。